And this comes just weeks after the back-to-back attacks here in California, Monterey Park, Half Moon Bay. 5 years ago today, 17 people were killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in South Florida. But after that shooting in Parkland, something felt different, and it was because of the students.
They say a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. We call BS! They say that no laws could have been able to prevent the hundreds of senseless tragedies that have occurred. We call BS! That us kids don't know what we're talking about, that we're too young to understand how the government works. We call BS!
Us Kids is the name of a documentary that follows those survivors turned gun control activists who founded the March for Our Lives movement. The movie is directed by Kim A. Snyder, who won a Peabody Award for her 2016 documentary Newtown about the aftermath of the Sandy Hook shooting. And it prominently features Sam Fuentes, who survived the Parkland shooting and became one of the activists. I spoke with both of them back in 2021. We began our conversation with a clip from the film of Sam describing the trauma she experienced in the aftermath of February 14th, 2018, when she was shot in the legs and wounded by shrapnel in her face.
Before all of this, like, we were normal-ass kids doing normal-ass things. At first, I didn't want to acknowledge what had happened to me. But there was this part of me that kept wanting to, like, say it over and over and over and again. But not because I wanted it to feel real, but because I wanted to feel less real. To a point where it becomes a story, opposed to, like, my life.
Sam, so that's you in the documentary. Is it your life? Is it still your life?
I like to think so. I think a symptom of going through a traumatic experience like this is that you tend to kind of dissociate yourself from it and derealize a bit because the content, I guess, is just so traumatic. And, you know, at many times I felt like almost like a character in a larger story instead of, you know, a victim of this, you know, terrible atrocity. I think it was just because it was easier for me to process, because then it wasn't like my trauma, right? It was this person's trauma. And so I think one thing about this film is that you kind of see what actualizing is for me. And that was not just becoming an activist, but working alongside people who have experienced that kind of trauma, and a part of taking my life back and reorienting myself into my own life, I suppose, was, you know, kind of giving myself a sense of power and control.
And Kim, I suppose that's a similar feeling that the other kids in the documentary felt as well, that by becoming activists, it felt good. It felt good to take that power, to take that control back in the face of something in which you felt completely powerless and out of control, to feel better, to somehow heal through activism.
I wouldn't want to, you know, speak for them, but I think it's I've met so many survivors of gun violence now, and it seems a real hallmark in a way that for many people like Sam, to, as she said, reclaim your narrative is to find purpose. And, you know, there's a line in the movie, you say, Sam, that you wouldn't feel whole if you weren't doing something about the fact that your friend was murdered next to you. And it reminded me a lot of what we thought about or experienced for those of us people who are older in the Vietnam era, you know, people who were fallen and killed and needlessly.
Right. And around the same age, I suppose, maybe a few years older, but this is an age where teenagers are forming intense bonds with each other and treating their friends like family in a sense. And Sam, can you talk about, I mean, you talk about your friend Nick, who was right next to you. He was a swimmer. He wanted to go to the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. And he was incredibly important to you. And is he the main reason why you became an activist on this issue?
Absolutely. I think Nick, more specifically, had an influence in my life. Especially because, you know, of the location which I was when he passed, and just having known him probably the longest and probably the most out of everybody since I was a freshman in high school. You know, it's just, there's something very telling about the person he was. And he was just an incredibly hard worker, and he was passionate about the things that he did, and he put all of his energy and all of his planning and into the things that he cared deeply about. And that wasn't just swimming, that was his family, that was his friends, and he was just a generous and giving guy all around. And, you know, that selflessness was something that I wanted to embody, you know, this idea that this was hopefully what he would want out of anything that I could do for him, is a spite against that form of injustice that affected him, you know. And it's one of those things that it's really hard to articulate at times, but I guess the easiest way to say it is like, I don't quite see a life that I can live that doesn't involve constantly recounting the situation. You know, for the rest of my life, I'll be, you know, affected by the symptoms of PTSD and depression and anxiety, and I'll have to encounter all new triggers down the road and all these kinds of things. And so I think the only logical way to combat that was just to work really, really hard. That's something that I guess, you know, Nick also embodied as a person. And so I suppose that's how I memorialize him and how I memorialize all the people lost to gun violence. It's a really sad and close-knit group that we're all in, but we all have a reason why we do it. Like, it's very rare that I meet a fellow activist and they don't have a story for themselves.
And so many of you coalesced during that famous March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. This was March 24, 2018. It came about just 6 weeks after the shooting. And I just want to play a clip of you, Sam, again. Here you are on stage in Washington.
The moment we speak up, we're scolded that we are not old enough. It is as if we need permission to ask our friends not to die. Lawmakers and politicians will scream, guns are not the issue, but can't look me in the eye. I just threw up on international television, and it feels great.
And so during the movie, you narrate that you were sensing a feeling of fear, not fear of speaking in front of the crowd necessarily, but a fear that there might be a shooter in the audience, and that's why you vomited on stage.
Yeah, precisely. That was something that I hadn't anticipated, as you might imagine. My goal was, you know, to do a good job and say my piece and walk off the stage. And that's the unfortunate thing about PTSD, is that it sneaks up on you in the unkindest of moments, you know. And that's a reality that victims of gun violence face, is that once they have a situation in which their life is endangered, it is easy for them to believe that the rest of their life is at question and at risk. You know, I go out into public situations and I find myself questioning people's intentions and their body language and the small or largeness of a crowd and checking for exits and looking for escape routes. And, you know, these are not things that you would assume a 20-something-year-old kid should be worrying about, but that's just it. That's my reality. And I think that just proves a further point of, this is the kind of people we have fighting on the forefront of this movement. And it's both a wonderful thing and also a terrible thing. And not to devalue my own work, but there are hundreds and thousands and millions of people who are far more able-bodied and well-off than I am, and have far more energy and time and less trauma that hasn't been affected by the actual thing that they're fighting against. And I suppose it's not guilt, but just having to show the reality of the people, the kids, who are literally fighting against this injustice, and how we really need more people, you know, supporting us and being there, not just a bystander, not just an audience member, but someone who really invokes real change in meaningful ways. So, and I, you know, you as helpful it is to have representation, it's also really saddening to think that we're asking a bunch of kids to be the strong ones, you know, where you're asking these group of traumatized kids to push their grief and their trauma aside to fight for something that at times we feel like people don't give a damn about.
It does feel that way when you see these mass shootings happen over and over and over and over again. And I guess I'm wondering, Kim, how do these kids in your movie, how do they see that now? They see that they were full of righteous anger right after their shooting and went and just marched and protested and organized and just worked ceaselessly. Do they see it as something that has brought about tangible results?
Yeah, Sam and I actually talk about this. And on one hand, I feel hopeful that, oddly enough, and Sam, please correct me, but I keep asking this question is, you know, as these numbers just keep happening and we become numb because you can't help it. But I'm not sure kids are. I feel like they become maybe more angry and more traumatized. So I just wonder about that divide in the generations, if they don't have the luxury of becoming numb in that way. I don't know what you think about that, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people like myself don't have the privilege of not living in fear. And I have hope that the future is going to be a brighter and a more just and a safer one. But that's when we start recognizing the totality, you know, understanding how we combat gun violence starts with confronting the issues we already have at hand when it comes to things like mental health resources and therapy. These are things that are so undervalued in our system. And I think the biggest way that we can combat that is by presenting real objective truth and stories by and from gun violence survivors. So that's where my hope lies.
Are you as optimistic, Kim?
I mean, I have hope in Sam, and it's horrible. But, you know, what Sam's articulating is that change out of crisis, it's built on fury and it's built on trauma. And these kids and people who've lost people, they don't quit. I mean, they don't really have a choice. So it's relentless. It's a lifetime work. And we all know that movements take time. So I do think the conversation changed in some ways after Newtown, and I certainly think it changed after Parkland. So I don't want to sound Pollyanna. I think it's maddening, but I have hope in Gen Z and this generation of kids that are, you know, that are looking up to role models like Sam and others. And I just have met hundreds and hundreds of Sams and other kids in my film. So that gives me hope.
That's Kim A. Snyder, director of a documentary called Us Kids. It's about the March for Our Lives movement. And Sam Fuentes, one of those activists and a survivor of the Parkland school shooting, which took place 5 years ago today. I spoke with them back in 2021. Coming up, a stealth hit, a TV show for little kids that's only 7 minutes long.
Sometimes these are very big, sort of meaty, complicated ideas about what it means to be a person in the world. And sometimes they're like, bingo, invented a game. Let's watch it for 7 minutes.
Bluey and other shows our critic recommends for children. That's next on Press Play. This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. It's Tuesday.